News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, Mr. Rob Center there on the other side of the glass, Matt Cotrillo clackety-clacking in the newsroom, taking a lot of school districts from two-hour delays to either flexible learning or close. He's just doing it randomly. He's not really following what other districts are saying. He's just posting closed and so on, so that should cause some chaos. But we invite you to read his update at WKOK.com. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. I've been on it many times trying to find out where you can see these films that have been nominated for the Oscar that we haven't seen. I'm starting to get caught up. I've seen a couple of them now. I'll keep you posted about that. But movie Mike, welcome aboard. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Always fun to be here.
And we're going to start out with your review of Studio 666.
My two favorite movie genres are horror and comedy, and my favorite band is Foo Fighters, so when I found out Foo Fighters were making a horror comedy, I pretty much knew I'd like it. Having said that, Studio 666 surpassed my already high expectations. The band rents out an old mansion to record their 10th album. What they don't realize is that a demonic force lives within its gates. That force possesses frontman Dave Grohl, making him become obsessed with recording an endless death metal song and eventually starting to kill his fellow of bandmates. Studio 666 is often hilarious with sharply written dialogue and scenarios that play on the sarcastic personalities of the band members. The symptoms of Grohl's possession are darkly funny too. For example, when he gets hungry, he kills one of the other guys, cooks him on the grill, and eats him for dinner. The movie also works on a horror level. The killing scenes here are some of the most creative and inventive you will ever see. They're so over-the-top gory that you laugh and squirm simultaneously. Fun supporting performances from Will Forte, Jeff Garlin, and Whitney Cummings add to the enjoyment. Studio 666 is legitimately one of the best horror comedies I've ever seen. It rocked my socks off. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 4 Everlongs.
All right. 4. Well, I saw the trailer. I thought, movie Mike's going to love this.
Well, you know, it works. And as far as a horror comedy, they really came into this and said, okay, we're going to do like we do on stage. When Foo Fighters go on stage, they want to rock every person in the crowd. And this movie says, we're going to take all the things that you know from horror comedies and we're going to crank it up to 11. And that's what this movie does. It's bigger, it's funnier, it's crazier than most horror comedies. And it just really worked. And I think you don't even have to like Foo Fighters to enjoy the movie. If you like horror comedies that are done well, you will appreciate this movie.
Well, I'm neither a fan or a fan. I'm just ignorant of Foo Fighters. But suffice to say that I'll come out of this probably liking them a little bit more too.
Yeah, one of the fun things about it is that if you are a fan, the movie plays on the personalities of the band members, which is kind of fun to see. And they're actually very good at playing themselves. Acting is difficult. Playing yourself is even more difficult. But these guys are comfortable with it. If you've seen their music videos, you know they're often funny. So they're used to doing comedy and they feel comfortable in that realm. So it's just a lot of fun. And if you don't know the Foo Fighters, I think you will get to learn a little something about them from watching them on screen.
All right. Well, fabulous. Yeah, it looks like a fun film. It really does. And where can I see this?
Opens nationwide in theaters today.
Theaters, okay. So, and you gave it 4.
Although I have many favorites.
Oh, that song. Okay, super. Theaters, well worth. We got mini reviews. No Exit.
Because Disney bought 25. Good reason. The most well-known name. Rug Rehab. Center out in the middle of them has a little girl. Know which one it is. And so if she knows that the girl was in there. Kidnapper is. Deepest, most danger. We see a loaded nail gun to the little guy. Plot twist coming a mile away. Have Hulu. You might see 95 minutes watching this movie. Nothing else. So one.
Where someone's undeterred. Just on Hulu. Okay. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds and I couldn't watch the State Park or Visitor Center. Did I detect that right?
The cruelty of this situation.
The Desperate.
It's a movie from Philip Noyce, Rene Naomi Watts, and I've seen in a long time. And then it kind of, where she's the only woman. Sensitive subject. Thrills. Doesn't have school shootings or the mindset that creates that. It's just completely exploitative. I don't think they meant it to be that way. I think they probably felt they were trying to say something important, but they really don't. And this movie comes off as extremely offensive and appalling in light of Parkland and Sandy Hook and Columbine and real-life school shootings. It's hard to watch this movie take that idea and just use it as the premise for a cheap thriller.
Okay.
So one star for that, too.
Okay, one. Geez, you're not even giving out the 1.5 because somebody took the time to make it. All right, sounds super. All right, we got some entertainment news to chit-chat about. The Oscars won't air certain categories or won't air more categories. There's already been off-screen categories.
Yeah, this is a misguided choice because the people who don't care about the Oscars aren't going to watch because they drop a bunch of categories. But they announced that they're going to not telecast about 8 categories that are not considered the big ones: documentary, short, editing, sound effects. And, you know, to me, people who watch the Oscars do care about those things. And people who don't watch the Oscars are not going to suddenly start watching them because the show might be a little shorter or might not have these, you know, smaller awards. So it seems like a major choice. And of course, it's very controversial in Hollywood. A lot of the tradespeople and the craftspeople are upset that their profession is being ignored. So once again, the people who do the Oscars are just shooting themselves in the foot trying to get this thing to have the ratings that it used to have.
Oh, okay. And that's probably not going to happen, right? I mean, we just don't have as many people glued to regular TV.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. And you know, they keep trying to manipulate how they do the awards. They try this, they try that. Nothing ever works, and it's because they're not playing to the people who are inclined to watch the Oscars, and those, you know, that's those of us who do care about these categories.
What is the mission of the Critics' Choice Super Awards?
That is kind of an alternative to the traditional awards. The Critics' Choice Super Awards honors genre films: superhero movies, action movies, horror, and sci-fi movies. And we announced our nominations for the Critics' Choice Super Awards this year. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings was the big nominee, got many awards. But we're kind of there to exist to recognize quality, popular filmmaking, not necessarily the artsy stuff, but the stuff that's just fun and well-made and gives you a good time.
Like the Foo Fighters?
Like the Foo Fighters. Hey, I am on the nominating committee for horror movies. I helped choose this year's nominees. And when we do this next year, I'll absolutely be making a push for Studio 666 to be included.
All right. Well, yeah, it sounds like they will be. It is being talked about beyond even your recognition. I mean, there's a lot of folks are saying that is happening. Each week, we've been trying to talk about some of the Oscar nominees. Best Actress this time: Jessica Chastain in Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman in The Lost Daughter, Penelope Cruz in Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman in Being the Ricardos, and Kristen Stewart in Spencer.
Yeah.
Your view on these selections? Anybody omitted there? Anybody not belong on that list?
I think everybody belongs. I'm very happy that Penelope Cruz got nominated. Parallel Mothers is a fantastic film that not enough people have seen, although it is starting to go wider. The wild card here, I think, a little bit is Nicole Kidman, because the other four were kind of presumed to be nominees, and Nicole Kidman got in. There are a couple other people that could have easily been in that slot as well who got left off, but that's the way the Oscars go. I think these are 5 very strong performances from these women, and really any of them would be a worthy winner.
Okay, fabulous. Yeah, good. I think I appreciate you saying so. All right, what are you going to see this week? What's on your agenda?
I'm actually going to go see Studio 666 in the theater. I saw it at home on a screener. I actually want to see it in the theater, so that's what I'm going to be doing.
Super big PA system there, so that should be great. Movie Mike, we'll see you at the movies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Movie Mike McGranahan, a staff writer for Ranker. Mike's a member, as he mentioned, the Critics' Choice Association, also the Online Film Critics Society, and he's a winner of awards and author, and he has a sponsor, too, the Campus Theater, campustheater.org.